Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody. It's time to talk about those movies again.
Movie.
You like the cinemas.
Welcome to Movie Land.
Press 1 if you want Max to go first. Press 2 if you'd rather I do it.
Boop.
Was that a solo boop? Or was that a double boop?
Boop.
I guess Max shall go first.
Okay. I watched 2006 Behind the Mask.
Ooh.
The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Whoa.
I watched this in August 2020.
Okay.
1 hour and 32 minutes.
They tried.
Without the credits, though.
They get there.
Yeah. Genre, horror, comedy, mockumentary.
That's fun.
Does it all, yeah. Scott Glosserman, the director here, starring Nathan Bissell, Angela Goethlis, Robert Englund's in this, Zelda Rubinstein is in this movie. You got the fucking Kane Hodder in this film.
There he is.
You got all kinds of people who are in this movie, all the horror folks in this film. The summary, and you're going to understand why. The next great psycho horror slasher has given a documentary crew exclusive access to his life as he plans his reign of terror over a sleepy town called Glen Echo.
Mm.
Bullet points on this movie. God damn it, this movie is awesome.
Is it
good? It's so good. So the idea is you have this guy, Leslie Vernon. He is going to become the next Michael Myers, the next Jason Voorhees. So the movie posits all of them are not supernatural killers, Freddy Krueger, all these guys. They are just simply serial killers who are prolific and created a legacy for themselves that became urban legend.
Sure. Cool.
So he's going to do that.
Okay.
So he calls in a college documentary team who have reached out and shown interest in wanting to see what he's doing. He's like, you know what? You can come out. You can film me doing my thing. I'm going to become the next one of these guys. And so he teaches them kind of how they work. It's got a ton of little in jokes about horror movies where it's like people are running away and you're just walking. Little things that we've seen 100 times, like studying anatomy, studying magic tricks, like all these cool little pieces of data that are like, oh, that's kind of interesting that he became like the serial killer by doing this, or this is what they all have learned to do. This is their skill set. And he kind of makes it really interesting. Nathan Bissell fucking crushes it as Leslie Vernon in this movie. He's so good. He's so demented. He's so relatable all at the same time. So the first 2 acts of this film are all done as if he has a documentary crew following him around.
Nice.
But then the 3rd act becomes a straight up honest to goodness slasher film.
Good, good.
Really awesome. They become part of the slasher film, the whole crew, and you realize that he's kind of set this up the whole time.
I was hoping that's where it would go.
It's awesome. It's so good. It's such a great, loving send up to all these films. So much fun. So well written. So well performed. Everything's elevated so much from the material. And Glosserman and the writer did an awesome job coming up with something that was really an endearing send up to all these horror films. So cool.
That's great.
Yeah, I love this film. It's so awesome. They've been trying to get a sequel off the ground forever. There's a graphic novel that's a sequel to it, and they've just been busting their asses trying to fund a sequel. And it's just, they've tried a couple failed crowdfunding pieces. I just want to see something, because I just want Bissell back as Leslie Vernon, because he is the shit.
Sounds cool.
It's so good. If you haven't seen it, it's an indie that's worth seeing. It's around the time where it's like we're kind of inundated with these low-budget direct-to-DVD features. This one stands above a lot of those as just fucking awesome. I watched this in August of 2020. It is one... Oh, I already did that. I already did
this. Do it again.
All right, 1 hour and 32 minutes. It's a horror comedy mockumentary movie.
Ooh, nice.
I don't know why I drifted my eyes up like that. IMDb, 6.7 out of 10.
That's good.
Did I mention the movie summary? Rotten Tomatoes critics, 41 critics went back and reviewed this, which is a surprising number for a horror movie like
this.
That's good. 76%.
That's even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Audience, 10,000 plus. 75%.
Cool.
So we're talking pretty good odds. It's all really good. I don't think you're going to go wrong with this movie. And I'm coming in even higher than everybody else. If you need that push, you need that last little push off the edge. 8.5
yes.
out of 10 for this film.
Yes.
It's awesome.
I love that the 10,000 audience members rated it so high.
Yes.
Because it's probably the people who really want it if it's an indie film.
It's so cool. And it's a ballsy, like, I mean, when you're like, I'm going to slightly change the history of a lot of these popular slasher films.
Right.
For people to be like, fucking A, I'm in on it. These people are kind of hard-nosed, these horror genre fans. Yeah. So. Cool to see.
Very cool. Well, it's my turn to talk about a horror movie. How about that?
Ooh, I like it when you talk about horror movies.
I do it sometimes. I don't want to take them all from you, but there's enough.
Plenty.
This one is from 2019.
Is it The Bed That Eats?
It is no bed involved.
Okay.
There may have been a bed in the background.
Oh, okay, good.
The Curse of La Llorona.
Ah.
Have you seen this one?
I've not seen it, but I'm very familiar with the urban legend that it stems from.
It's a cool urban legend.
It is a cool urban legend.
I watched it January 1st of 2021. First Ooh. Movie of the year.
First movie of the year. Whoop, whoop.
It's The Curse of La Llorona. Rajona.
You didn't have your wife Double rehearse L's. This with you?
Yeah. She's like, you're going to butcher my language. I go, yep.
Sure am.
IMDb, you know me so well. IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 33 minutes. Genre horror mystery thriller. Directed by Michael Chavez. Starring Linda Cardellini, Raymond Cruz, and Patricia Velasquez. Your IMDb summary. Ignoring the eerie warning of a troubled mother suspected of child endangerment, a social worker and her small kids are soon drawn into a frightening supernatural realm.
The Weeping Woman.
The Weeping Woman. You hear her crying. It's already too late.
Too late.
She's coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if she marks you, that's it.
Yeah, she drowned her own kids.
She drowns. Yeah, so the urban legend, and it's a Spanish urban legend.
It is.
It has roots in other places as well.
Yes.
Which is what really
heavily
makes it.
Like Mexico, I think.
Mexico, maybe Brazil area. Like, it just keeps, like, that South America all have different versions of it. But the basic consensus of it is a woman ended up drowning her children and then went mad.
She was married to a prince, and then he was like, or no, she wasn't married to a prince. She had like children with a prince, and then he was like, I'm a prince, fuck you. And then she was like, so upset, she drowned her children, and then she went weeping through the town about her drowned children.
Right. And then when she passed, she came back as this ghostly woman
who terrifying
murders children,
yep,
drowns them.
Yeah.
So pretty cool horror concept.
Yeah.
Scary as hell. Relatable.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, this woman has grief.
I've drowned so many kids.
So many kids.
So many.
How many can you fit in a sack?
You know what? If they're drowned.
Yeah.
It's a little less because they're bloated from all the water.
Right.
I don't want to put them in a sack if I've drowned them. I just leave them.
You just leave them?
I just leave them.
Okay.
Yeah. You just leave them.
That's fair.
Way easier. Way easier on the back.
I've been doing it wrong.
You can't pull your back out with these fucking bloated drowned kids.
My back is just dumb.
You're carrying on all these bloated drowned children.
Bloated drowned children.
My goodness.
Boy, if that doesn't make it into the title. Bloated Dead Children is a very good title for
Yikes.
It. Yeah. Come at me, people. I don't give a shit.
We're bullet joking. Points. It's a joke.
Yo mama a joke, audience.
God damn it. She's weeping.
She weeping now. She probably wish she drowned you. Anyways, bullet points. This is a good starter horror movie. And that it's not too scary or too bad.
Nice.
Like, it's a good one. It's a nice take on what is largely considered a Mexican folktale. Mm-hmm. What I didn't know at all going into this, it's part of the Conjuring universe.
Yes.
No idea. But it can be seen on its own because I haven't seen many of those movies. It just loosely ties in. The tie-in is kind of cool. One of the priests that appears in one of those other movies, the woman asks him for advice. She's like, you don't believe me. He goes, I do. I've seen some shit.
Nice.
And that's essentially it.
Right. You don't need it.
He's like, I will help you. And he puts her in contact with a man who's going to try to take on.
Cool.
The woman, the weeping woman. I thought it was pretty good. There's some child actors in here that are really good. The kids are very good.
That's awesome.
They put in strong performances. The little girl, there's a scene which you see in the trailer, which is the weeping woman washing her hair, and she thinks it's her mother helping her in the bath, and then she holds her under the water.
Ooh.
Really terrifying moment. And then when the kid manages to get out of the water, she looks around, no one's there.
Oh, frightening.
There's really cool moments like that in this movie, and I don't mind spoiling that one since it's in the trailer.
No, that's cool.
It's a creepy movie, and I think it's done pretty well. So could it have better moments? Maybe like a slightly stronger end. Like, the ending's good. Slightly stronger would have been a little better.
Fair enough.
But I enjoyed it. So let's go to our score. 5.3 over at IMDb. Rotten Tomato critics, 185 of them, 29%.
Yikes.
Surprising. The audience, 1,965 people, 37%.
Ooh.
And you know me, I agree with IMDb on most everything.
You do. Well, you tend to.
I don't know how that happened, but I give it a 6.0.
Nice.
I think it's a really accessible horror movie, even if you don't like horror.
I like the accessible. I like that.
Accessible is a big key thing, and that's what really puts it over for me. My wife has a wife score.
Ooh.
It's also 6.0.
Nice.
And again, when I do a wife score, we don't talk about it. I just have her blurt a number out and we go.
Cool.
So yeah, I think it's accessible.
Very cool.
You're cool.
Not as cool as 1985.
Oh, I remember that year.
Not Weird well. Science.
Oh, you know, this I remember.
Goddamn right.
Goddamn right indeed.
Watch this in August of 2020. It's 1 hour and 34 minutes.
Close.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Directed by John Hughes.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Kelly yep. LeBrock. Anthony Michael Hall. We got Judy Anderson in there. We got the Bill Paxton in there.
Love me some Bill Paxton.
Oh my goodness. He's so good in this movie.
Very good.
The summary here is two high school nerds use a computer program to literally create the perfect woman, but she turns their lives upside down. Yeah. My thoughts on the movie is, first and foremost, this movie really asks a lot of the audience. Like, you have to really just be willing to buy into some crazy shit.
Okay.
That these kids wearing bras on their heads have brought a woman to life who can turn a man into a weird bloated puppet mutant.
All with an 80s computer.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, what? This movie is batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Any other filmmaker, I think, who had this script would not have been able to make it work. But obviously, Hughes penning and directing make it so interesting. He makes the character so relatable.
Right.
We've all had those high school experiences. We've all had a tough time, you know, kind of fitting in. And I think he really nails that feeling here.
Yeah, he's the king of it.
He really is. I think this is definitely one of the weaker Hughes entries in all of his, you know, whatever you want to call it, the 80s Brat Pack style movies.
And I don't even think that's an insult.
No.
They're all fairly strong in that genre.
Pretty much. It's like ordering something on a menu at a 5-star restaurant, being like, you know, this wasn't the tastiest thing I've had here.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And it's still fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. This movie still rules. It's so funny. It's got early performances from RDJ before he really came back for his, third resurgence as RDJ.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. It's got so much heart. The characters are so compelling. The soundtrack kills. It's so good. Like, across the board, if you don't have a good time watching Weird Science, you ain't right.
You ain't right in the head, fool.
You ain't right. IMDb, 6.6 out of 10 for this one.
Okay.
Yeah. IMDb, or Rotten to IMDb. IMDb.
The Rotten IMDb.
Rotten-ass IMDb critics at Tomatoes. 57%, 35 of those rotten-ass IMDb tomato rotten critics.
Tomato critics, yep.
Audience score, 100,000 plus people.
Plus.
What if I told you they gave them the second best score possible?
Oh, wow.
I'd 69%, baby.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Oh.
I am coming in right above them, just a touch, because I can't do 6.9. That's not how our system works.
I mean, I'd allow it, but go ahead.
7.0.
That's fair.
7.0. This movie's so fun. It's just, if you can handle how ridiculous it gets,
mm-hmm.
you're going to love it.
Right.
If you can't, then it's you're going to get lost in the shuffle, and you're going to be like, oh, I'll take a Breakfast Club. Thank you.
Sure. I'm glad that you enjoyed it going back to it now with how advanced technology is now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see a kid who's, you know, like 12-year-old now having a hard time going back to it.
That's a little rough. There's definitely some problematic 80s stuff. Definitely some, like, use of words that I'm not too big on at this point in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing racial, but definitely sexual orientation stuff that Bill Paxton tends to drop a little bit. But you have to remember, his character's supposed to be insufferable.
Right.
So if you just kind of, you know what I mean? And it's hard to look past some of the stuff when he's dropping, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that particular F-bomb a bunch. It's just like, please don't. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, but it was a different time, and I'm not excusing it in any sense. It's hard to watch.
It was. That's why it's there.
Yeah.
And
he's supposed to be an asshole.
Right.
He gets his comeuppance.
It's an easy way to make sure you know someone's an asshole.
Know. And I mean, it's Bill Paxton. He's so good.
Bill Paxton, very good.
Love Bill Paxton. Rest in peace, Bill Paxton.
Oh, man. That made me so sad.
Oh, my God. So young. Too young.
Very young. But let's talk about something that won't make me sad.
Please.
It's an animated movie.
Ooh.
You know I love animation.
I know you do.
Well, I do some, but I don't think I've done enough. So here's some animation for
Please.
You. From 2002.
Okay.
The Cat Returns.
The Cat Returns.
Have you ever seen The Cat Returns?
No.
I watched it January 5th of 2021. I can read. Shut up. I can read. IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 15 minutes. A little shorter than we're used to.
Yeah.
Animation, adventure, comedy. It's also anime, if we're being more specific.
Okay.
It's a Studio Ghibli.
Ooh.
But it's not Hayao Miyazaki.
Okay.
It's Hiroyuki Morita.
Okay.
Starring Anne Hathaway, Cary Elwes, Judy Greer, and Andy Richter.
Whew, just a
All
few
good
names.
People.
Yeah, love Andy Richter.
I'm pretty sure they're not the Japanese cast, just so you know.
I would guess not.
No, they all know Japanese. They
Though I'd love to see Andy Richter fudge his way through that.
He would make it, I don't know how long. The thing is, Andy Richter's a bigger character in this, so it's... You know, IMDb movie summary. After helping a cat, a 17-year-old girl finds herself involuntarily engaged to a cat prince in a magical world where her only hope of freedom lies with a dapper cat.
Good old dapper cat.
He's so dapper.
Damn it, he's dapper. Me, yeah.
Statuette that comes to life.
Of course. Very common stuff.
It's anime, people. Things happen differently in anime.
You're damn right at that. They're damn right.
So all of these movies are typically like cutesy, but like dark.
Absolutely.
In a way.
Oh, yeah.
And this is no different.
I love the fairy tale feeling they managed to evoke.
Yes, they're so good at this. One has a very huge fairy tale kind of feel to it.
Nice.
Bullet point, cats. They claw all your couches. Cats acting like people is fun, this time anyways. So it's
building. You're building towards something.
Yeah, something it was so hard. We'll get there. Oh my God. Cats acting like people is fun.
Uh-huh.
They're actual cats that stand on two legs and, you know, they parade their king around and they do humanoid kind of things. The first half of the movie has enough redirects that you never are really sure if it's what's good and what's bad. I don't know who's good. I don't know who's bad. I have no clue. There's a fat cat bodyguard character, which is awesome, especially in the later half. Just when you're like, this cat can't get any more awesome. He's just this big fat cat that's like, I'll go fuck everybody up so you can get away. No problem.
Nice.
He's kind of like the goon for the dapper cat. Because like the dapper cat's cool and all, but you're like, I don't know, whatever. You know, what are you going to end up with a dapper cat?
Yeah.
Equal parts romance, drama, and fantasy. It's a fun anime. It's just less grandiose than the other Studio Ghibli kind of
stuff. Makes sense.
You know? So crazy. She ends up going essentially to... She saves a cat from getting hit by a car. That cat was a prince. And you really don't see him for a while. But like the father comes to thank her and the father's a scumbag. You just look at him and you're like, that cat's a scumbag.
Scumbag cat.
And like as it goes on, you're like, oh my God, he's really a scumbag. And like it just keeps escalating. I'm like... I can't believe for an animated movie how much it's got its hooks into me.
Nice.
And like the adventure just keeps throwing these curveballs and I'm like, I mean, some of it's obvious. And you're like, oh, it's probably this. And maybe it is. But then there's all these other little curveballs around.
Nice.
I ended up loving this movie. So IMDb gave it a 7.2.
Sounds good.
Rotten Tomato critics, 23 of them.
Okay.
91%.
Shit.
Yeah. The audience, 35,337 people, 82%.
Ooh.
Me, I'm the lowest of all of them, 6.5.
Wow.
It's a super accessible movie. It's really fun. If you like fairy tale kind of feels like you said, this has it. It's really good. It's a little bit Alice in Wonderland kind of feel to it with cats that act like people, but in the good way.
I like it.
I like you. Well, ooh, what's that? A laser pointer? Ooh.